What's going on, y'all? This is Captain Magnus, the propagandist. Today is Monday, February 1st, 2021. This is the Awakened Demagogue podcast. The Biden administration has taken, or I should rather say, wow, that was really loud. Okay, I'm up here with a nor'easter and I'm in the complex and that was just like really freaking loud. I guess the snow plows or whatever in the complex are just ridiculous. Anyway, Biden administration has made domestic terrorism one of his top priorities, especially in the wake of the January 6th quote-unquote insurrection. According to the Center for Strategic and International Studies, QAnon, the alt-right, and Antifa from the extreme left, are all considered terrorist groups or domestic extremist groups. Whether Biden is actively going to pursue any Antifa activity or just focus on the alt-right and QAnon and whatnot is unclear, at least to me at this point in time. But we can definitely expect that his administration is going to go after the extreme right or right-wing extremists. One of my Facebook friends, who is a self-identified libertarian, she's a army veteran, has gone through numerous, I guess I could say, phases of experimentation or something like that. And that's one thing about the U.S. military. You know, people in the mainstream, you know, average civilians, they get all up in arms about, you know, the regular people being used as guinea pigs. Well, people who are used as guinea pigs first are people in the military. And this particular veteran talks about how she was monarched and things, and she knows a lot about MK Ultra, how it's been used in the military, and she's done her research on how that came from the CIA and whatnot after World War II, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, she shared a petition. I can't find it on her page right now. It may have been banned from Facebook. You know, it may have been flagged by Facebook. She may have just taken it down on her own. But the alt-right, or at least some concerned citizens, they launched a petition against H.R. 350 or House Resolution 350. Which is to authorize dedicated domestic terrorism offices within the Department of Homeland Security, the Department of Justice, and the Federal Bureau of Investigation, FBI, to analyze and monitor domestic terrorist activity and require the federal government to take steps to prevent domestic terrorism. The last act on this particular resolution was taken on January 19th. That's when it was introduced into the House. There is no actual text to this bill, and the only actions is that it has been drafted and introduced into the House. The actual bill is just the title, as far as I can tell, on congress.gov, which is interesting because the petition, at least from what I saw when I first, you know, glanced at it on Facebook, said or alluded to the Biden administration listing conservatives and libertarians and people in the alternative news, you know, community and whatnot, as terrorists. There's literally no language in this resolution, much less language that states that. And that's part of the misinformation and disinformation that goes around in this community. And while I'm not here to say that, you know, libertarians or whatnot, or just anyone in the alternative community or alternative news community or whatever, independent investigative communities, you know, they're all disinfo agents or anything. But what I am saying is, you know, as we encounter this information, we need to look these things up for ourselves. That's not to say that, you know, Biden will not label, you know, people of political parties as dissidents, terrorists, people that we don't like, so Democrats can stay in power perpetually. I'm not saying that's not a thing, but what I'm saying is, as far as this particular House resolution, there is no text or language to make any kind of presumption or assumption off of. So I think it's really interesting that the hyperbole, you know, and that's just a one example of the hyperbole that is used in these circles, right? They take one piece of actual information and just let their imaginations run wild. And that is one thing about the conspiracy community that makes it so compelling. They take bits and pieces of actual concrete information and then just run with it. Like we don't even give them an inch. They just take the inch and then run 10 miles with it. So when we encounter these mainstream reports, or just, you know, I have a lot of DOD or and national security community and intelligence community connections on LinkedIn, and I watch their conversations, and they, you know, kind of give off this energy that any information having to do with conspiracy theories or people on the alt-right or whatever, all of it is disinformation and all of it is untrue. Even in the mainstream media, you know, all of it is untrue. No, it is not all untrue. It's just what they do with the truth is grossly exaggerated and hyperbolized. And I think that's something we really need to digest, because that aspect of it, that rooting in truth, that seeding in truth, is why it's so compelling, why it goes viral, why we have, you know, and it's not even about like Gen Z or millennials or right or left. We have just an entire populace that is coming to the realization that some of these conspiracy theories are conspiracy facts. And there's definitely a forest of errors and a labyrinth of information that we have to go through, and a lot of discernment, a lot of critical thinking, a lot of actual analysis has to be applied to this information, because a lot of it is misinformation, a lot of it is disinformation. But it is all based on some seed or root of truth, which is why Alex Jones, you know, as you know, and the thing about Alex Jones is that he's entertainment, right? If you actually follow Alex Jones, you'll see that he's been in a lot of enlightenment-based, I guess that's the phrase you could use, enlightenment-based or enlightenment-geared Hollywood content. One of my favorite films is Waking Life, in 2001, I believe. It's like a cartoon dream within a dream. It's actually exploration of life, philosophy, death, worldviews, things like that. It's really good. Alex Jones does a rant in that. There's a film, A Scanner Darkly. Cannot remember if he made a cameo in that. I think he did. But it has the same kind of aesthetic as Waking Life. I believe Keanu Reeves was in A Scanner Darkly. Yes, he was. And that's actually a really good one. But, you know, Alex Jones, just, you know, he's entertainment, but he also does his research, right? So a lot of people in his camp, in his world, that follow him, it's very easy to get caught up into him and stick with him simply because a lot of his pseudo quote-unquote predictions, not all of them of course, but a lot of them, you know, seem to be on point or at least very close to the truth. And that's because he does research real life shit and then he runs with it. When I first got into conspiracy theories maybe 10 years ago, I was at a really miserable and vulnerable place in my life, and a lot of people that get into conspiracy theories are, you know, lonely, they're lost, they're looking for belonging, they're looking for a way to understand the world, they're looking for a way to understand why, you know, especially white folks, why, if America is supposed to be this dream and I'm supposed to be able to do all the things, or I serve my country, why are these things happening the way they are? For a lot of veterans, and the thing about the alt-right is that there are a lot of veterans, especially in Alex Jones's direct community that Donald Trump exploited. There are a lot of veterans. They have PTSD. They were deployed in some kind of war scenario, conflict zone. A lot of them have, you know, they see the worst of humanity in ways that the average civilian cannot fathom, that cannot they cannot imagine in their minds, right? So it's very easy for them to kind of dabble into conspiracy theories because we want to know, how did we get here? How did they end up in Afghanistan or Korea or Kuwait or wherever they are, Iraq? And they see the things that they do, and how can these things happen? You know what I mean? These questions that they may or may not know the answer to themselves. You know, what do the higher ups within the military really know? You know what I mean? Like, in the world where you got to have security clearance to know somebody's name. You know what I mean? It's very easy to let your imagination run wild, right? And in the civilian sense, when we think about, you know, the CIA, the FBI, anyone, even the most basic person that just worked on a ship and needing, you know, having security clearance, people wonder, well, what do they know that we don't, right? What do they see? You know, the UFO things. Oh, people in the Navy, everyone saw the UFOs. People in the Air Force, oh, they see the UFOs. What does that mean, right? The ET conspiracy, what's that about? No need disclosure now. These very real and tangible realities are what these are the seeds of conspiracy theories, and they are also the fuel to the fire. One interesting conspiracy that has actually been in the news more often than not in recent years, specifically 2020, yeah, last year, I think 2019 as well, you know, declassifying documents in relation to UFOs and extraterrestrial interstellar beings. I just watched a recent documentary by David Wilcock and the crew. I think one of them, somebody downloaded it from Gaia, the Gaia streaming app, and put it on YouTube. One was like the cosmic secret, and the other one was Above Majestic. And they both get into the ET conspiracies, right? But they present it as not as conspiracy theory, but like people who have experienced abductions and things like that, and the grand, you know, mission that they've been given by the ETs and extraterrestrial beings and whatnot, and what it means for humanity and their special calling. You know, David Wilcock went from a researcher to the, you know, the chosen one now, and it's just like, oh god, here we go with that. But anyway, you know what we have in real time, you know, the Pentagon or the CIA releasing, you know, declassifying documents in relation to UFOs. And then Congress, in the recent COVID stimulus bill, they gave the Pentagon 180 days to release everything they know about UFOs. So that is a real-time, concrete action that was taken that absolutely fuels the imagination of people in the conspiracy community. And the thing about it is, you know, everyone's like, what's the disclosure moment going to look like? And disclosure and the UFO and ET and all that communities. It's basically the government coming out and saying, yes, we know about extraterrestrials or interstellar beings, and we are in league with them, or we are not, and they have been here for however long, and this is what's going on, and you all have been manipulated, and the people who talk about abductions are not lying, the things, the big secret, the real secret that everybody wants to, that actually makes sense of a lot of theology and things. But anyway, I'll get to that. That's a disclosure moment. And, you know, when we have these, you know, Congress demanding documents on UFOs being released, or images of UFOs by the Pentagon being released and then, you know, covered up with some other sensationalist story so people don't really talk about it, you know, COVID. These are the things that actually validate and confirm some conspiracy theories. And he's like, how in the heck does an ET or, you know, conspiracy tie into QAnon and white supremacy? Well, first off, we want to talk about the white supremacy piece, and then we want to talk about like Antifa and even BLM, right? The dichotomy there, the central piece, the pendulum that is swinging both ways is the lie of white supremacy. You know, we got the lower level whites on one end who are disgruntled with the fact that they have to realize that white supremacy, their white supremacy, is a lie, and they are by any means necessary holding on to it, hence Donald Trump. Then we have the folks on the left who knew, you know, white supremacy was a lie, namely BLM, and they're just trying to right the wrongs and make everyone see that white supremacy is a lie. You know, we are human beings and we have rights. You know, stop killing us. And then Antifa's like, yeah, yeah, do it! You know, so they're like the extremists on the left, and there's the extremists on the right. Everyone's, you know, the pendulum of white, the lie of white supremacy is swinging from either side. And then you also have the capitalists versus the socialists. And it's all becoming convoluted, right? You know, there are myriad theories and beliefs in the extreme right. There's myriad positions and agendas in the extreme left. And they're all kind of being, you know, batched into these, like, just mega movements, right? It's just the extreme right and the extreme left. And then you got the pockets of, like, the QAnon versus the Antifas. And then you got the BLMs, that's righteous. And then you got the different, you know, the actual Christian evangelicals, and then the ET people. And then it's kind of like you can't really have the ET alt-right conspiracy and Christian evangelicals, right? But they're all over there listening to Alex Jones. or whoever else. David Icke is another one. Actually, if you get on the alt-right, you know, like video sites like BitChute or theresistance.video, you will actually see Alex Jones and David Icke Plandemic documentary about the origins of Antifa and how they operate, all on those sites. And they are all for all alt-right. So when we say the white Christian evangelicals, I mean, yeah, but technically, you can't really be a full-blown Christian fundamentalist and then also believe that the government or the left is, or the world is run by reptilian overlords that are ETs. You can't actually believe both at the same time. However, both theories, both beliefs, both, you know, things to be upset about exist in the ecosystem of the alt-right and the conspiracy theory community over there. Now, here's the thing. Here's the great equalizer. The conspiracy community is not right or left. It actually is just an awakening of consciousness at the most debased and mundane levels. It's just really a challenge to expand one's mind, and prayerfully you don't go all the way to hell with it and try to take down the Capitol, storm the Capitol and say it's a revolution. But, you know, here we are. And the thing is, a lot of people who start out with Alex Jones and David Icke and all those other conspiracy folks, that, you know, that takes that, you just, if you just go down YouTube and now TikTok, if you just watch those videos and go down the rabbit hole, you either end up with the Christian evangelical Armageddon apocalypse thought process or worldview that's being hyped up in the media right now and targeted. Or you go the more leftist, new age, spiritual, mindfulness, ET. Then you get into science and space and wanting to understand the universe, the metaphysics and things like that. That is actually more supported by the left and mainstream culture. Mindfulness is going mainstream. One of my clients was telling me about that. She wanted to, like, be the thought leader. It takes a lot of work to do that. You know, the yoga, I really despise, and just sidebar, I really despise Western yoga and the exercise and the commercialization of it, because I just feel like it's a commercialized, westernized, bastardized version of a sacred Hindu practice. And it's really disrespectful what we've done to that practice here in the West. Yeah, and then, you know, they say, oh, well, Buddha this, and we're into Buddhism, and now they're trying to commercialize and sell Buddhism. And even Buddha studied under Hindu yogis. That part. Anyway, yeah, that's why a lot of things in Buddhism are in Sanskrit. That part. So, anyway, back to conspiracy theories in the past that they take you down. So, you know, on the left, you find more of the metaphysics and getting into the science and the physics and the quantum realms, and then you start to think about, oh my gosh, what are the possibilities? Oh, there must be ETs. Oh my gosh, so many of us have actually experienced ETs, or we're, you know, meditating and things like that. But then you also get into the theology and reconciling ancient history and the story of humanity, you know, anthropology and archaeology, and then you get into physics, and then, like I said, theology, and you start to reconcile all the world's religions and how everyone has a flood story, and you know, you have the Watchers in the Bible, and the Nephilim in the Bible, and then you have the Anunnaki in the Sumerian origin story, creation story, and then you kind of reconcile that. I, as a Native American as well as African American, my tribe, the Ramapo Lenape, interstellar or interdimensional beings are in our lore as well. I remember a medicine woman in my tribe told me that if I wanted to talk to them or connect with my ancestors, to just, you know, tell them I'm ready. So that's that. And the thing is, like, when you get into the conspiracy realm, the things that activate, you know, the QAnon and whatnot, those little keys they can take you down either path. You know what I mean? The interesting thing about the Christian fundamentalists that mainstream media likes to call out and pick on, is that, you know, we have the Christian evangelicals, which can also be recognized as Christian Zionists, which is a political movement, a religious political movement. Guess you could say spearheaded by William Blackstone back in the day. And basically, their goal is to, by any means necessary, of sorts, use politics to, and the tenuous Christian origins of the United States, to basically hasten or quicken the Battle of Armageddon and bring about the apocalypse, which means revelation, so the revealing of God and the second coming of Christ. So for that sub-faction within the alt-right, this is very religious, this is very spiritual. And to be honest, all of this, whether it's Antifa on the left being some kind of outgrowth, or especially the alt-right and what's coming up, all of this is spiritual, right? For these people, and just period. And, you know, Ephesians 6:12, right? Before we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities, and spiritual wickedness in high places, right? So we have to keep that in mind. That's why I love the Bible. Like, it's just, it's like, even with the crap that's in and has been taken, you know, that's all the crap that's been done to and with the Bible. Like, if you really know what you're looking at and looking for, it's all still right there. That's a beautiful thing. But, you know, those with eyes to see, and those with ears to hear. But yeah, so, you know, the Christian fundamentalists are basically just trying, and that's why they're going to dig their heels in. I think that's something that we should really kind of sit with and digest. They're always going to dig their heels in, because every little thing, and like I said, there's a lot of fact and a lot of real-world events that fuel these conspiracy theories. These are not things just completely made up in their mind. What they do with this real-world information, definitely hyperbolic. They definitely think things are going to happen that don't happen, but they all start from some seed of reality, oftentimes a dark side of reality that people have trouble reconciling, which I think is part of why it's attractive to a lot of people in the military who haven't been exposed to the darkest sides of parts of humanity, and they just want to understand why, and conspiracy theories just make sense. A lot of people, that's the thing, a lot of people in conspiracy and spiritual communities have severe levels of PTSD, whether they have been to war or they've had, you know, sexual trauma or whatever. I have a lot of coaches and the, you know, the spiritual woo community, the Gen Z ones, who don't know much of anything they except monetizing anything they think. So they have a long way to go on understanding things, but they know the words, they know the keywords, so they sound like they know stuff. They don't really know much of anything, but a lot of them, I see they just, you know, especially when they had the Me Too's and the BLM and all of that, the conversation, and then the whole, you know, Jeffrey Epstein thing, there were just a lot of conversations about women, you know, the young women going out of their way to, quote unquote, reclaim their sexuality and their sexual freedom and things like that. And it's not just, you know, related, that's not limited to the younger generation, but in the spiritual community, in the conspiracy world, you find a lot of sexual trauma, especially in women. And men, I'm sure, but, you know, the women are just like, oh my God, I'm gonna, they're hypersexualized. Right? And they're fighting to say that's their reclaiming their power. And for them, it is. You know, I've seen some of the young psychologists on TikTok, you know, break that down. And I thank them for that. Good job, Gen Z, using your, and millennials, using your education to help people understand that this hypersexualized culture is not necessarily about women's rights, but it's a trauma response, and women are just trying to navigate how to reclaim their power. And you know, when you go through severe trauma, you do kind of lose your faith, and you get into the quote-unquote spirituality, and you need anything, you know, by any means necessary, a way to reclaim your power. And that's why a lot of people get into the conspiracy realm, because it's a way to reclaim their power from the system. It's their way to reclaim their power from government. It's a way to reclaim their power from racism, or the fact that racism no longer works for them. It's not just angry white supremacists, it's people who have just been told that being white is right, and now being white is wrong, and they cannot reconcile that. So, you know, you have some people that just kind of go with the flow and adapt because they, you know, adapting works, or they actually believe that, you know, maybe white is not right, let me learn. And then you got the ones that say, well, white must be right because that's what I've always been told, so they're digging their heels in. There's that disillusionment. Like I said, the Christian evangelicals are trying to hasten the second coming of Christ. You know, a lot of people in these world realms are just trying to reconcile and bring their trauma in and under control. But all of that gets linked back to this wake up truther movement, great awakening. You know, the great awakening is not, it's not really a conversation about white people getting behind Trump and Trump, you know, doing the thing. The Great Awakening is about evolving consciousness, right? And understanding how the world works, how the universe works, and how we operate as spiritual beings. One thing that I thought was curious is Q Shaman, I think his name was. First of all, he calls himself Shaman, which is just, you know, the term that we give to people who go into trances and deep spiritual ecstasy, if you will, to communicate with the spirit realm. And then he's like in jail or something, requesting an all organic diet, and that sounds very much new age leftist woo mindfulness kind of person. And that's just a, you know, just an illustration of how this mindset, this consciousness, is more universal than what the conversation about domestic terrorism is making it seem. Conspiracy theories take you down the new age movement and occultism, spiritual community rabbit hole. New age movement, honestly, in a lot of ways, is just very, very, very watered down Judeo-Christian mysticism. So it's very easy to see how these people get caught up in the Q consciousness and those conversations. I've seen a lot of fragmenting of the quote-unquote spiritual community on my Facebook page, because the black folks who are all into the woo stuff and think they've got it all cannot believe that their Caucasian counterparts are, one, not inviting the black people to their summits, and two, not operating in a space of light that is inclusive, or that their white counterparts are falling for the QAnon conspiracies. And it's just like, because it's all the same continuation, the same continuum of content and consciousness. This is not some, fragmented thing. It's these small pockets and bits and pieces of content that all come together for this collective consciousness that does span the right and the left, that does go from white folks and black folks. If you dive down the rabbit hole of the black conscious community, they talk about the same exact conspiracy theories that the alt-right and the Qs talk about. The same exact ones. Right? It's just the white ones make the news. You know what I mean? Or storm the Capitol. But they talk about the same things, and it's the same consciousness, and it's the same evolutionary process, if you will, if you're talking about consciousness, evolution, and personal growth. And it's kind of scary when you know and realize these things, because mindfulness and that spiritual mindset and all the new age things are, they really are going mainstream. They are, they're all over, HuffPost or whatever. They're all over social media. That's the new way to be, be spiritual, be neutral, don't go deep into religion. But like I said, the Christian fundamentalists and the Armageddon folks and the eschatologists, if you will, they all say the same thing. They're all telling the same story differently, just like the origin stories. We're all telling the same story differently, and it's amazing how we all just come back to that one central point, that whether it's a theological or cultural origin story, or right now the conspiracy theories exposing the nature of how societies and governments and the rich, the has versus the have nots, that whole dynamic of the body politic, exposing how all that works. It, at the end of the day, it's all a telling of the same story differently. So in the next segment, I'm going to get a little bit more into how the mainstream media and the government pros and just the actual concrete realities kind of fuel the conspiracy community, as well as that realization of how society and the structure of the body politic just function, and their purposes and the philosophies around those. All right, y'all, round two. So in the last segment, I kind of got into the continuum of the conspiracy theory consciousness and the just how the whole spectrum of that community works, and how it can take you either from Christian fundamentalism and eschatology to straight up New Age spirituality, and how at the end of the day, when we look at the conversations that have been going on online in the Q communities and whatnot, we cannot focus on Christian extremists or white supremacists, because in the bigger conversation, we even have these, everything is good, mainstream mindfulness, spiritual community folks. We have the New Age folks that are all a part of this conversation and this consciousness. They are all flocking to parlor, okay? They are all into it, whether they believe they are full-blown racist or whether they are Christian fundamentalists, whatever it is. I worked with a Chinese woman that went to DC the day on January 6th, okay? The mindset, the consciousness that is driving this whole alt-right, whatever you want to call it, movement, it's way bigger. The community, the actual mindset, the actual people who follow this and really believe in it. Like, I participate on all sides, right? So I can get a bigger view. That's how I have approached this the entire time since I first got into these things back in 2006 when I watched Zeitgeist, right? I have always looked at both sides, all sides, as many sides as I could gain access to. Even when I was deeply into the conspiracy theories like 10 years ago, you know, like I really, really was into it. And then it's like, I want to see it for myself. So I joined one of those secret societies, and it's like, oh shit. Yeah, they got a little bit of it right, but damn, this is really cool. And then it's like, oh shit, why? I guess I'm one of the bad guys. I'm gonna write a blog on me discovering my true identity, and then it's just like, yeah. Anyway, so what I want to get into in this segment, is just getting a little deeper, right? We're gonna dig a little deeper into the fact that there are mainstream and actual tangible facts that can fuel the conspiracy theories, and how, you know, especially the national security community, the DOD, all of my fun peeps from LinkedIn, you guys. If anyone finds some of you guys' LinkedIn posts, like if people on Telegram and Parler knew to create the kind of connection net or network that I've created on LinkedIn, oh my fucking God, our actual defense and intelligence communities would be the reason why anything else happens. And here's an example of why. So one of my beloved people, who is actually a professor, I believe, of strategic communications, Carla Mastracchio, I hope I said her name right, she shared a blog titled "Space Forces Communication Problem: How It Hurts Space Operations and What to Do About It." So it's basically an essay analyzing the Space Force's launch and its branding, from the logo being caught up in conflict with Netflix, and how it looks like insignia from Star Trek, to, you know, the name Guardians, you know, striking up the thought of, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy and things. And basically, she was saying no one's gonna take the Space Force seriously because the branding and the story development is not enough. It's not on point. And I'm like, well, the thing is, you know, and I left a comment on her actual, you know, original LinkedIn post where she shared, and I'm just like, you know, the sci-fi fandom is big. These are the people who are going to really be fans of and support the Space Force, to want to see it become reality, so that we actually have that public support for the Space Force. And the thing is, the sci-fi fandom is loud and proud. The sci-fi fandom is actually the gamer fandom, okay? That's why Game of Thrones, even I think I want to say Stargate, I'm not entirely sure. You got the Star Trek, the Star Wars. Not only do they have the Comic Cons and things like that, but they also have video games that correspond to these you know, series and films, right? So we have to, and I think this is a really important piece. When we think about the Wall Street Bets and GameStop and AMC, GameStop, AMC, a movie theater, Nokia, the original, like, phone game, Snake, and then Dogecoin, because, you know, cryptocurrency is a thing. But these are like staples in sci-fi gamer culture. These are staples in nerd culture, right? Like, let's really look at this. If the Space Force wants to effectively garner public support for it to be taken seriously, gamers and the whole of fucking millennials and Gen Z went to literal, quote unquote, you could say, economic war, and they're still in battle with Wall Street, and at least for a day, won. I think the whole GameStop, AMC, Robinhood fiasco is a testament to the fact and the fact that the gamer, sci-fi, nerd community has that much power. And if you're going to strategically pitch the Space Force as a serious, you know, military branch, and you want public support for its funding, those are the people you need to talk to. We have to understand that whether we like Trump or not, the one thing that his campaign and administration had going for them was effective branding. And you want to know why they had effective branding going for them? Because they are from the private sector. These are commercial mindsets that got into government and said, let's do things the way the private sector does things. Brand things in that way, because guess what? It fucking works. So we can't say, well, this is done wrong because it's everyone's going to make it a meme. Let it be a fucking meme. The whole of fucking Wall Street is upended, and we have actual SEC investigations going on over a major stock market event. Wall Street versus the little guy event. Because a few fucking gamers said, no, we're going to save the one thing that we have left en masse together. Okay, we need to talk to those people. Trump was the master of broken clock syndrome. He was right at least twice a day. And the thing that bothers me about the left and the DOD trying to, you know, and the thing about the people on LinkedIn and my DOD connects and all that is that a lot of them are really, they're just, you know, doing like one of the first things I learned in my international relations program. Instead of actually solving problems, they just spend more time trying to publish and impress each other with how smart they are. It's funny because a lot of people in the military trying to prove how smart they are. It's like, have you guys watched TikTok? You guys aren't really that smart. Anyway. And that's like based on posts from you guys as vets and your own people, okay? But anyway, right? So we have them trying to, you know, they're just really trying to prove how smart they are or are not to each other, which is kind of obnoxious. And the thing is, we're critiquing that the Space Force tried to go Hollywood or tried to play to the sci-fi fan base. It's like the sci-fi fandom is who you need to talk to, because guess what? The sci-fi fandom is also the gamer fandom, and they literally just broke Wall Street for at least a day. Yeah, trust me, that's the kind of support you want to get people excited about so you can fund the Space Force. Because guess what? That narrative also falls in line with what? Conspiracy theories. So, in Miss Kara's article, here's a prime example. I'm gonna read this little piece. In the past, however, Hollywood has aided the Department of Defense through propaganda films. That's quite literally a major talking point in the conspiracy theory community, confirmed by someone who is actually working with and or for the government on strategic communication as far as defense, okay? For example, during World War II, this is from her piece, Disney released Der Führer's Face in 1942, in which Donald Duck dreamt he was slaving in Germany under Nazi rule. Warner Brothers also produced a series of propaganda cartoons designed to increase morale and clearly demarcate lines of good and evil during World War II. But the Star Trek looking logo is a missed opportunity in today's time. Well, maybe they tried too hard. But my point here is that if, you know, the national security community, NatSec community, is going to go after the conspiracy community and the alt-right and whatever, the QAnons, their conspiracy theories. Confirming this, what I just read actually confirms in real time and uses examples in efforts to critique the Space Force. You actually points like those, for example, points like those actually illustrate and confirm conspiracy theories. Because one of their number one points is the mainstream media and Hollywood are propaganda for the elite. For the agenda of the elite. One of the things that people in the conspiracy theories are absolutely obsessed with are the major wars of the past. A lot of them, and whether it's academia or the conspiracy community, everyone's still stuck on fucking Hitler. And like, just, you know, everyone wants to talk about Trump's Hitler, Trump's Hitler, Trump's Hitler. First of all, put respect on Hitler's name simply because Hitler. Hitler. Still to this day has everybody talking about him as if he pulled his shit last week. Y'all, we still talk about Hitler as if he is the reason for January 6th. Hello. You want to talk about branding and legacy? That is a guy to look up to. That is a guy that you follow. I understand why Trump is such a fan of Hitler, because hello, charismatic leadership gets you a cult following where you can do any fucking thing. And if that is not the goal of every presidential candidate, of every political candidate, of anybody running or developing a communication strategy, the fuck are you doing? And everybody needs to be fired and start over again. Okay? Put respect on Hitler's name. Anyway, so the conspiracy community believes that Hollywood and the government, and this is the thing, this is another piece that goes around a lot, the CIA, MK Ultra, they, you know, all of these, the central conspiracy is that, the theory is that, you know, Hollywood works with the government to put out propaganda through films and music to keep people, to get Americans or just the masses in general to believe certain things to push their agenda, the agenda of the elites. So, if we are literally trying to increase morale, quote, increase morale and clearly demarcate lines of good and evil during World War II, with a Warner Brothers produced propaganda cartoon, is that not a for example of the government, of the DOD, putting out propaganda to push their agenda? Now, at the higher level, we understand that that is the art of war. Not just deception, but also the piece about needing the support of your citizenry. And it's literally Sun Tzu, right? I'm like, I'm not like making shit up. This is also Sun Tzu. You need the support of your citizenry, of the people you're fighting for, of the masses, as well as the belief and the support, or cult-like following in modern terms, of your soldiers or those who are going to fight for you. You gotta have people willing to die for you and your cause. And you have to have the support and the morale and the belief within the people you are fighting for, the people that you represent, your nation. So that when we all rise up and you have this, you know, you got Russia or China over there that's like, yeah, we're the shit. And then, you know, all of America bands together. I mean, do you see Wall Street Bets, Robin Hood, GameStop? That is an example of people rallying around one brand, one moment, one movement. And it wasn't, and you get the investors, you know, well, they're going to lose their money. It's not about the money. It's about the message. The people rallied around one message to be sent to Wall Street and sent it. And if you can, that's literally war. Headlines have said Gen Z and Wall Street Bets and Redditors declared war on Wall Street. So this is the morale that propaganda cartoons and propaganda films try to, you know, boost and garner within the body politic, within the masses, within the average person and the groups thereof to support the DOD or the president's agenda to whatever the fuck they're trying to do. And in these cases, participate in World War II and get us, you know, you need the people in the battlefield believing in who and what they're fighting for. And you need the people at home believing that the people that we deploy and send out there should be fighting, and that they are fighting for a good thing. Because Vietnam is a very good and classic example of how things go wrong when the people at home don't believe in what you're doing abroad. Right? So is it really a conspiracy theory? Or are they just realizing how shit works at the top? And this is the cycle, right? This is the point that I was making in the last segment. Conspiracy theories are often rooted in fact. We know branding and strategic communications and marketing and PR. And now, this is literally, it literally said Hollywood has, a quote, Hollywood has aided the Department of Defense through propaganda films. So you actually cite cases that one of the main conspiracy theories that drives these crazy people is reality. It's reality. And you can't figure out why people are storming the Capitol? The fuck? Hello? People are waking up and realizing that they have been duped, that they have been manipulated by the Department of Defense, or the Biden administration, or the Trump administration. And people are just choosing which agenda they really want to go with. And hey, there's an ET agenda. They want disclosure because we want to know if we should be getting down with the tall whites and the great white brotherhood, or if we, you know, should we be getting down with the grays, you know what I mean? Some people have been abducted. They don't know who to root for. Everyone's, you know, the people at the top are actually lying about the truth within every origin story on the planet. So nobody even knows the actual, makeup of whichever ET races or interstellar races or interdimensional beings are actually connected with their true lineage. Except unless you're like a tribal elder and the Dogon tribe of Africa. They know their people came, their ancestors and their creators came from the Sirius star system. I know that because I researched them in art history, but then I chose them because I knew it from conspiracy theory research and ETs. So, if any of my DOD and NATSEC community people really need to digest the complexity and the depth of what they're getting themselves into when targeting or identifying the content that drives the mind of these conspiracy theorists that turn to domestic terrorists, and I'm not saying that, you know, they're not domestic terrorists, but what I'm saying is you guys are going to come up against the whole of a consciousness revolution within the American and global body politic that is too big for you guys to just point at and say terrorists. You would actually end up going down the rabbit hole and discover that you're calling anyone who was not part of the establishment a conspiracy theorist, and then risking calling them terrorists. Simply because they know too fucking much. And are willing to do something about it. And I think the whole Wall Street Bets, Robin Hood, GameStop, AMC thing, I think that's a very good example of the path that we're going down. Because people, you know, this is the information age. We have nothing to do. Gen Z millennials we grew up on computers and the internet. We have nothing better to do than sit around, get high or drunk or whatever, and just get on YouTube or TikTok or Google and say, what the fuck is this? And then go down a rabbit hole and then get on YouTube, TikTok, Facebook and report the findings. And then we all discover, oh shit, the wackos, the weirdos were right. And, you know, when we look at the GameStop thing, the alt-right, the Q folks, the everybody that the government wants to target right now was out and in full effect, down to the fucking Russians. I heard them on the fucking calls, on the voice chats on Telegram, down to those guys way across over there. I still don't rock with y'all. I mean the people are cool. It's the government that sucks. Putin's on some other shit. I saw like 5,400 people got fucking arrested today for protesting the one dissenter being detained. I forgot. I could have looked. I saw it like on the TV. I didn't look that up because I didn't mean to. It wasn't supposed to really be in the podcast. But anyway, what I'm really getting at is this is way bigger than a bunch of just a group of angry white racist Christian evangelicals or fundamentalists. This is not Christian fundamentalism being equated with Muslim Islamic radical fundamentalism, radicalization. This is a revolution in consciousness. This is a awakening of the body politic and of all kinds of beliefs. Everyone is ready to get rid of Wall Street. Everyone's ready to get rid of Washington. Everyone's ready to get rid of the crown and the way that it has remanifested itself in the modern day. And that is the one unifying piece that is going to radicalize and mobilize people on a mass scale, you know. And it's funny because the conspiracy crowd, they're all like, COVID is a way to get mass control over the people and keep us inside and keep us locked down and da 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 da. And then all it did was get everybody to riot and act out in a different way. We all came together and said, hey, let's support gamer and movie culture. Y'all wanted to propagandize us? Well, we support having these things for ourselves. And we're going to give you a piece of our mind, Wall Street, the elites, the wealthy, the people who short our favorite companies because you guys are assholes. Now, of course, it's like on higher level, you know, investment strategy. But, you know, we all grew up on computers and video games. We don't give a shit. We know. It's like you guys are assholes and we had a point to prove. And it was proven. Right? So, when we look at, and talking about that, when we talk about, like, the financial markets and government itself, the national security community, DOD, the military, the police force, you know, everyone's like, oh, police brutality is for everybody, not just black folks and whatnot, and classism. And I think that was the real thing that the whole GameStop fiasco really exposed, is that classism is at the top, then racism. Everyone's thinking that it's racism, then classism. No one ever really talks about classism, but we can all talk about racism because racism keeps us at each other's throats. And then, you know, the people in power and at the top and the rulers and the elites can say, okay, yeah, you guys talk about that and you guys do this. You know, this is Noam Chomsky I'm talking to here, right? And, you know, and he did extensive research on the art of propaganda and the way the media operates in favor of the elites, in favor of the ruling class, right? So, you know, they're pushing the narrative. The elites are pushing the narrative. You know, you guys fight over racism and the angry black people and the school shootings and the children and the mommy bloggers and the gamers and the people versus Washington. Da, 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 da. We can talk about all the other isms because the real ism nobody wants you to talk about is classism, unless we're picking on India and its caste system or saying that an authoritarian state like China or Russia is the enemy. And the quintessential, nobody likes the crown, so Britain were cool, but fuck you too. You know what I mean? Like, those little tidbits, right? But the big ism that is universal, actually, the universal ism is classism, the ruling class. And the thing is, when we talk about the financial markets and the global markets, that is a tool of the ruling class. It's really not, and I think this is the real undercurrent with the whole GameStop, Robin Hood, War on Wall Street thing. Financial markets are not about helping the little guy find a way to make more money. If you discover how to do it and you don't give the secrets away and you kind of make your way into the club, if they really let you in the club, that's cool. But you can't tell everybody, okay? Because we can't have the pauper class and the commoners thinking that they got some clout. But you know, if you make it up here, that's cool. That's fine. You're one of us, I guess, because you're here. Right, that's actually how I feel in the area that I live in. It's actually a quite the racist town. It's upper middle class area, but I live here, so it's just like, well, if you're here, I guess you're one of us, and now you're going to adapt because you're here. If you made it here, you're one of us, and I think that's how that actually, you know, works in the upper echelons of society. You know, the elites, you know, if you make it here, then you're one of us because, well, you figured out how to get here. Good for you. And they may have their undercurrents of the other isms, the racisms, the sexisms, the whatever. But the number one is classism. And they'll keep the other isms, you know, underneath or under their breath or, you know, subtle, you know, microaggressions and things. Because the number one most important ism is classism. So the financial markets are not really about easing social mobility. That's why they make it seem like it's this, you know, big esoteric thing, because it's not supposed to be easily understood by anybody. It's only understood by those who get an education in finance or an MBA or who actually just study on their own, you know what I mean? And if you figure it out, then you're one of us. You made it. Good job. Good for you. Now you know the secrets. And because you know the secrets, we have to get you to take an oath promising not to share them. That's in every secret society, whether you're a Rosicrucian, a Mason, whether you're becoming a lawyer or a doctor, whether you are serving in public office. Yes, you take the public oath to serve and have the altruistic mindset, but you also take the oath to protect the secrets and the institution. Ooh. To protect and serve, right? So financial markets are a tool of the elite to prevent World War III. Has nothing to do with making people money. It's about corporations and trade and currency exchanges, and basically just a soft power form of allowing power to be exchanged and played with and balanced out in a way that doesn't blow up everybody on the planet. That's the most like lay way I could put it. Government itself, all its apparatuses, whether it's the military, the police force, whatever it is, all structures in society are about the number one ism, classism. Protecting the ruling and elite classes from the commoner and pauper classes. Keeping the people with all the money and power protected from those who have not. Money and power. It's not just money. Plenty of people have money. Don't get it twisted. Plenty of people have money, but they don't have power. Even those who have a lot of money and influence don't necessarily have power. That's deep. It's another podcast or a blog. I'll figure out which one. But it's about those who have money and power, more power than money even. It's protecting them from everyone else who does not have that. Including people who have money and power. But they will use those who have money and influence to protect their power. Which is why you always see the celebrity figureheads and they're given these symbolic, you know, ambassador roles or whatever within the UN. So they can feel special because they have money and influence. But they are used as a buffer to protect those with actual power. And that's not to say some people in power don't get starstruck, but people who have real power, they don't get starstruck. They don't get starstruck. Not the way an average person would, anyway. They might get starstruck because it's like, wow. But if you got real power, then you got to go out to where you can command Beyonce to show up for your kid's 16th birthday party. So while everyone else in the commoner and pauper classes are like, oh my God, Beyonce did the thing. And then you're the person with power to say, yeah, she's my bitch and I made her perform for my 16-year-old's birthday party. Power versus money. Okay? And power is not influence. That's deep. But anyway, back to the point. Financial markets keep power players from blowing each other up. Government protects the ruling elite from being overtaken by everyone else. That is not unique to America. That is not unique to the 20th and 21st centuries. That is literally how civilization has operated since the beginning of civilization. Period. The end. And what we're finding right now on a global scale is that financial markets in particular, as a buffer against World War III, that strategy is starting to fall apart. It's starting to collapse, right? And it's you know, GameStop is like one, that's like an internal, damn, shoot it. But what we're finding, especially on the global scale, Russia and China, Iran, you know, they're finding other ways to compete. And this is a big conversation in the DoD right now. Because we have everything in conventional hot warfare, you know, God, guns, glory, bombs. We have that on lock, right? But, and then financial markets have served as that buffer and as that way for us to kind of play the game, play the power game, and, you know, keep everything balanced and things, everything copacetic, right? But now Russia and China have this, you know, Russia, I mean, China in particular, has discovered how to master economic warfare. Russia has, for God knows how long, mastered information warfare. China is catching on to that and exploiting it along with Russia. So we got disinformation campaigns, we got cyber warfare, we got space warfare. That's why we have the Space Force, because Russia and China already have space-based capabilities within their military. They have laser technology, anti-satellite weapons, lasers, like I said, that can shoot our satellites out of the sky. They have, you know, their hackers and whatnot that can launch an algorithm and compromise one of our satellites. They have jamming and spoofing technologies that can and have impacted our GPS signals, the global positioning system, the thing that makes sure Google Maps work, the things, the satellites that help us use the internet and figure out where the hell anyone is at any given point in time that has been tampered with. Like, for example, our US F-35s were impacted in Israel from a Russian airbase in Syria in 2019. Those signals were jammed, I believe. You got China, not even really, spoofing, kind of, but they were, like, mixing up the navigation signals, in the Wangpong, river in Shanghai, like, making, like, just confusing maritime traffic, and all that's, you know, impacts our satellites. So these are the different technologies and tactics that Russia and China in particular, our main competitors and our adversaries, have developed and are mastering every day. And we are behind because we got comfortable and said, well, nobody's going to out-bomb us. You know, they tried us with the planes and they saw that we'd fuck them up and blow them all into bits. And that's fine. That's fine. But now, you know, people, our adversaries and our competitors are focusing on alternative ways to wage war, disinformation. And the thing about the disinformation is that we would love to say it was Russia, it was China, no, it was us. It was us, our own misinformation and disinformation campaigns against our own people. Our own propaganda has worked against us because the people that we propagandize have realized that they have been lied to. They realize that they have had propaganda used against them or for them, and they want to know the truth. That is what's really going on right now. And to call everyone that's realizing that, oh shit, we've had, this was a propaganda film, people realizing that are now being called conspiracy theorists. And a large chunk of those people were in the military, where they were guinea pigs, probably for some godforsaken who knows what experiment. Because the military, we all know, the military uses those people, their people first. So this is an exciting time to be alive. This is going to be a very convoluted journey for the NatSec community, because how the fuck are you guys going to actually really and truly look at the quality of these conversations and the content and the consciousness that drives what we're now calling domestic terrorists, and not end up calling the whole of American society the enemy? Because, or at least the whole of Gen Z and the millennials. How are you going to do this without alienating old class? I mean, whole generations. And you can't focus on the Christian evangelicals, because there are just as many new age spiritual woo folks that are part of the Q consciousness that went and joined Parler, and because they know that the DOD and the government and the cabal and all that, da, 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 da. This is, and the thing is, this is an information warfare that Russia and China, honestly, I wouldn't even suspect them in this. I absolutely believe that they are enjoying watching us implode, but we did this to ourselves. Yes, in the conspiracy mind, when we took all of the Nazi scientists at the end of World War II and brought them over here, whether they were in, you know, the CIA or the DOD, wherever the fuck they went, we did bring them over. We said, yo, let me get that about you. And let's talk about how war works, okay? I have a Master of Science in International Relations. And if you're my DOD or my NatSec people trying to, you know, figure out what the hell I'm talking about, you already know that I know what's up, because you see my degrees. Spoils of war. That's all I got to say about that. So, we can't say that's a conspiracy theory. That's how war works. Once we defeat the enemy, we take all the good shit for ourselves. That's literally the nature of fucking war since the beginning of war, right? That's what we do. That is conquest, that is war, that is how it works. But one thing that America has going against it is that we have historically been sloppy with how or what we do with the spoils of our wars. We don't know what to us, okay? And I'm getting sick and tired of us, you know, being surprised with ourselves. We're so impressed with ourselves, we don't know what to us to do. We need to figure it the fuck out, right? Because in some real shit, on some we're about to be boarded shit, we can't keep fucking this up. But anyway, probably gonna write some blogs or something, submit some stuff. I'll do another podcast sometime soon, I hope. It was great talking to you guys about these topics, and I'll give you more soon. In the meantime, if you would like for me to help you see the world differently, and actually, you know, if you're a private corporation or a small business, right, and you believe in public-private partnerships and fighting for the home team, rooting for the home team, and trust me, this podcast was not about, oh my gosh, yay, the conspiracy theorists are the winners. No, I'm not on that side of the line. Yeah, that part. So, but anyway, if you want, you know, you want to, you know, get in on the big stuff, figure out how your messaging can help forge public-private partnerships and help, you know, combat disinformation. You know, be that light in the darkness that is known as misinformation and whatever the hell we got going on right now. Hit me up. www.theculturedscholar.com, and we can light up your content, your positioning, and how you see yourself as a change agent in the world. Otherwise, you can hit up my blog, www.awakendemagogue.com, and just read more of my bullshit. Deuce.